We're going to read verse number 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. I want to just thank you for your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for his salvation he provided for us. Thank you, Father, for loving us, undeserving, but loving us. Thank you, Father, for just all that you, who you are, and how great and how wonderful you are. Thank you for tonight, the folk who's come to be in this place. And once again, thank you for the opportunity to preach. Now, Father, bless our pastor. Lord, just help him and protect him, take care of him, Lord, and just meet his every need. And once again tonight, we just want to say we love you. We realize it's because you first loved us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. I think that probably everybody probably realizes that the economy is bad. Well, I just thought I'd tell you that. I didn't know whether you knew it or not. That's all you hear. That's all I've heard through the campaign. And then after the election, that's all I've heard is the economy. And I don't think they understand. They just don't get it. Now, the people who is giving all these bailout money things keep saying that. Those companies don't get it. Well, I don't think too many, maybe some, Christians even get it. Right. What we don't realize is the economy's bad because our relationship with God is bad. We've had poor leadership. Yes, I know that. But our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is very bad in America. And that's our problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's not a money problem. And what'll fix it is good old-fashioned revival and getting right with God, and that'll fix a lot of things. But it also, and I believe, and you understand these things, not probably telling you anything new, but all of this is in God's plan. And if you'll just look around, we see the Roman Empire being reestablished. We see Israel back in her land and in the news every single day. And we see that this economy is not just a America problem, but it's a world problem. And what we need to understand is that, again, is part of God's plan, because there's coming a day that the world is going to be looking for someone to fix it. And that's going to be the Antichrist. And so I don't know how you feel about it, but I just believe that Jesus could come any day. And I'm not just saying that as some... I think he could. I think he's soon to come. And if you look at the world's condition, you'll understand that that things are all just moving into place. Everything is being put in place. And, you know, all of the signs of the times in the Bible is not for the rapture. It's for the second coming of Jesus Christ when he comes back to set up his kingdom. There's no signs for the rapture. He could happen any time. But if we see these signs happening today of those that will take place when Jesus comes again, then we ought to know that the rapture isn't too far off. I'm just telling you, I just believe with all my heart that we as God's people just need to get a little bit of understanding that Jesus is soon to come, and what's our responsibility until he comes. I'm just going to preach a simple message tonight. I'm a simple preacher. It's just a simple message of just sticking with the stuff and not letting the landmarks of God's word move. We have got all over this country, there is attack on the Word of God. You've got all kinds of perversions of the Bible that's out today. And they take words out of the Bible, verses out of the Bible. They change the meaning of the Bible. And we have that. We're facing it. Well, that's just end time stuff. There's a great attack on the Word of God. Well, what do we do during this time, Brother Ross? What do we do? Well, you just stand fast. You just keep busy loving God and walking with God and doing right and continuing in the ways of the Lord and believing the Bible. And what I'm just going to do this evening is kind of look at some of these landmarks. You know, the landmarks, we can talk about them, and I think some of that is referred to. And I know back in Deuteronomy, he talks about to move not the landmarks of the fathers, landmarks. I have a brother that had purchased a piece of property years ago, and he had right outside there was a line right down beside his garage. And he said, Bobby, he said, if anybody could build right up there next to me. But the reason he knew that line was there was a big old cement post. Mm-hmm. Now, some of you have seen those. There's still some around. So cement post that marks the boundary. Mm-hmm. It's the landmark. And so anyway, he had the opportunity to purchase that land, and he did purchase it. But that old cement post is still right there. And those are landmarks. They determine where the boundaries are. And so when he talks about landmarks, sure, he's talking about physical landmarks, but he's talking more than that. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the landmarks, spiritual landmarks. And there's a difference between the landmarks that God sets and the landmarks that the world sets. The world's landmarks change all the time. They just go from here to there. And I mean, when you talk about dress and all these things, one year to be this way and one year next year to be this way. And you know, just all kinds of things. But God's never do change. God's never changes. The landmarks of God's word will absolutely never change. And that's what's so aggravating when people want to take the word of God and change it. God's word does not change. And people want to drop this and drop that, but God's word doesn't change. It's always the same, always has been, and always will be. The worlds will always change. So I just really kind of want to go over some things and help us to realize, not that they're new things. I just want to kind of encourage you. Stick with the Bible. Quit trying to look like the world. Quit trying to act like the world. Quit trying to live like the world. God has standards in his word of how we're to live, what we're to do. Just stick with them. Just stick with the old Bible. So get your King James Bible and just believe it. Whatever it says, just stick with it. So I just want to go over some things. Concerning what we need to do as far as landmarks. This is God's word. Will you remember it does not change? Never will. It'll always be the same. It's a precious Bible, the word of God. Now, I want to look first of all at the landmark of the deity of Jesus Christ. Just for a few moments, I'm going to go back to John, the first chapter. You can turn there if you wish, but I want you to listen. The first few verses of John, the first chapter, says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Over in verse number 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now the Bible says, I don't know how anybody can misunderstand this, "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus is the Word. And it says, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, the Jehovah Witnesses, they've changed that portion of the Bible. That what they said was, and the Word was a God. That's what they said. That's what they changed their Bible to. The Word was a God. No. No, Jesus is the Word. He's God. Amen. See, Jehovah Witness come to our door not too far back, maybe a month ago back. I don't remember when, but he came to our door and knocked, and he would like to very much come in and have a Bible study with me. Yes, that was kind of him. And I said, no, sir, you can't come in. Bible won't let me you come into my house, because that's what the Bible says. You don't bring a false doctrine into your house. But I asked him about Jesus. I said, what do you think about Jesus? And he said, well, he's my Savior. And I said, is that right? That's just great. And I said, do you believe he's the Son of God? Oh, yes, I believe he's the Son of God. I said, I got one more question for you. And I said, do you believe he's God? And he stopped and he said, no. I said, I'd like to hear you say that again. Do you believe he's God? And he said, no. And I said, sir, you don't have a Savior. Oh, Jesus is God. Amen. And so he closed his Bible up and began to walk away. And as he was going, I was shaking this old finger at him. And I said to him, sir, you better believe Jesus is God. Amen. I said, you don't have a Savior. And so he went and got in his car and left. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, listen, Jesus is God. Young people, do you hear that?
Yes, sir.
He's not only the Son of God, he's God. He's deity. Amen. Not only that, the landmark of the virgin birth. Amen. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Now the NIV wants to say and call that, instead of a virgin, a young woman. There could be all kinds of young women. We've got some young women here in this church. No. It was a virgin. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? Sure. And I'm just simply saying to you, don't ever forget that. You remember, you young people, he was born of a virgin. Amen? Only one has ever been born of a virgin. It's Jesus, the Son of God. The landmark of the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It was a man years ago, after I got saved over at Anaconda Aluminum Company. He was a lay preacher in a Methodist church. I'm just not picking on all the Methodists, but that's what he was. And he used to tell me all the time, I'd tell him, boy, it takes the blood to wash away sin. Oh, he said, Brother Ross, he said, that blood just simply means death. It's all it means is death. I said, if it had meant death, God would put death in there. He said, blood. That's what it is. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, you see. That's what God says. And he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, it's the blood. And don't ever forget it. You can't be saved without the blood. You understand that? Always preach the blood. Amen. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that was shed for our sin. That's a landmark. Can't be moved. Amen. Don't ever move that. And then also the landmark of his resurrection. Amen. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. He rose again. I remember a few years back right here in this church. Wouldn't tell you, you'd know who it was, but I wouldn't tell you if I could who it was. But this young man said to me, we was talking about the resurrection. He was talking about being saved. And I said, well, you got to believe in the resurrection. You got to believe in the blood. You got to believe in the resurrection. He said, oh, I think if somebody, you know, just hadn't been taught, didn't know about the resurrection, it would be all right, wouldn't it? And I said, well, he said, to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. How are you going to get saved without believing in the resurrection? Jesus rose from the dead. You know, I just like to ask you, do you believe in his blood?
Amen.
Do you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you believe he rose from the dead? Oh, amen, he did. Yes, he did. So that's a landmark. Can't be moved. Don't ever move it. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the wonderful Son of God. Not only that, the landmark of his second coming. Did you know Jesus is coming again? Talked about that a little while ago, but I want to tell you right now, we need to get back to loving the coming of Jesus Christ. I really believe this. I believe we Christians ought to get up of a morning. First thing we think about is, could this be the day? Before we go to sleep of a night, say, could this be the night? I might wake up in heaven. That wouldn't be a bad thing. Amen. You know, in all seriousness, Jesus is truly coming. We've heard it all so years and years, and you know what? We don't hear that much anymore. Oh, our preacher talks about it, but a lot of preachers never talk about it. Read a little article the other day. It said that the second coming of Jesus Christ is very seldom mentioned in most of the churches in America today. Very seldom mentioned. Very seldom talked about. Folks, we ought to talk about that. We ought to mention that continually, because Jesus is coming. I believe as you look out over this world, oh, I think he's coming soon. No, I really believe that in my heart. I'm not just talking about that. I really believe he's coming soon.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Amen. And so that's a landmark. Jesus is coming and it can't be moved.
Amen.
Also, some landmarks concerning the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church.
Right.
Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, and that's the rock he was talking about, I'll build my church. What rock? Well, that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
That's the rock that is built on, folks. Ain't there not a person in here that got saved unless you believe he's the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You see, that's the landmark of the church. Jesus is building his church.
Yeah.
Jesus is doing it. But you know what? He uses old poor folk like us to get it done. He don't have a second plan. He don't have plan B. He's got the church. You understand that? He's got the church. That's all. Born again believers. That's his plan, that takes the gospel and preaches it to every creature. That's his plan. And he says, I'll build my church. Amen. We don't ever want to forget it's his. The landmark of the headship of Christ, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen. Now he appoints some under shepherds. We have one here. It's Pastor Jerry Ross. He's the under shepherd. Amen. But he's not the head of the whole church. Jesus is the head, and he put him down to be the physical head here and lead us and guide us. Amen. And give him a vision for the church and take it forward, you see. Amen. But Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. Jesus is the head. Not only that, the landmark of the church mission. And over in Matthew 28 chapter, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now you see, there's a mission. God give a mission to the church. It's very simple. Get people saved.
Amen.
That's the first thing he says. Just get people saved. Amen. That soldier that got saved. Wasn't that good? Well, that's the commission.
Yes,
get people saved. Amen. Give the gospel. You can't get people saved unless you give the gospel.
Right.
So you can't get them saved by just inviting them to church.
Right.
Amen.
Yes,
you can do something. You can give the gospel in many ways. You can give tracts and all kinds of things. But my friend, listen, you got to get the gospel to them.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
got to get the gospel to them. And that's the first step. Get them saved, and then you get them baptized.
Amen.
Amen. They baptize back here in this water back here. Amen.
Amen.
Dunk them under. Get them baptized. Because God said to. That's what he said to do. And then he said, teach them. What for? Well, you got to teach them so that they can go out and get people saved and get them baptized and teach them. And they can go out and get people saved and baptized and teach them. That's the thing God's give us. Okay? That's what God gave us. Amen? Now, listen to me. I'm just mentioning it. That's for you. Now, you're not exempt. I'm not exempt. That's for all of us. Amen? That's just for all of us. That's what the Bible says. That's a landmark. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Just go out and witness. Amen? And then, of course, the landmark of Christ's love. I want to tell you something. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's tremendous. Jesus gave himself. He loved us so much. I want to tell you something. I've lived 69 years, and all seriousness, I have trouble understanding the love of God, because I always want to try to look at it from the standpoint of human love, and it's so different than that. You see, me and you could be a friend, Jesse. Me and you could be a friend. Maybe something might come between us. We don't get along very good, so our love varies, you know, up and down. But Jesus' love never does. It's amazing. I mean, you get to thinking about that. You know, he loves you. No, I mean, he loves you who you are. No, he wants to change us and make us better, but he loves us. I mean, I can't get over that. I don't know why he would put up with me. But he loves me. And it's never in any way dependent upon what I do. This is amazing, folks. When you read it and you study it, I want to tell you something. It's not dependent on what I do. His love is not dependent on what you and I do. It's sweet. I'm telling you. Now, does he care what we do? Oh, yeah. Yeah, will he deal with us? Will he help us? Yeah. But it's because he loves us. See, I'm telling you, this love of Jesus is just wonderful. Don't ever forget, that's a landmark that you just can't beat. Amen? Remember that. He loves you. Brother Ross, yeah, but you don't know what I... Jesus loves you. Amen. He said, will he deal with me? Yes, he will. Amen. He's dealt with me for all the years since I've been saved. He hasn't quit. Well, probably for that too. Getting me ready. But he'll deal with you and work with you, and he won't get done until we go on to heaven. But the love never varies.
Right.
Never. That's agape love.
Amen.
See, that's the difference between you and I's love.
Right.
I do something that you don't like, you're going to be aggravated at me. Jesus never gets aggravated at me. He likes me.
Amen.
I don't know why, but he likes me. Yeah. But will he straighten me out? Oh boy, he sure will. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that's a landmark. That's the love of God.
Yes.
And it's sweet and wonderful. Amen? And then also there's some landmarks concerning the ministry. The Bible just says in Philippians 1st chapter, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Folks, our pastor, he gets up here. I think he does a wonderful job.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know I'm prejudiced, but I think he does a wonderful job. I think he's doing a great job.
Amen.
Yes, amen. And you know what? He'll defend the gospel.
Right.
Listen, I mean, you probably do understand, but if you just knew what was happening out there. I went to a church. My wife and I had stopped in when we was on vacation a few years back, and the son of this preacher had taken over the pastorate. And we walked in there and thought everything would just be the same. This old daddy was just one of those fighters. I mean, he stood for the gospel and he was just a tough preacher of the word of God, never wavered, and walked in there and all the music had changed and the dress standards had changed and the whole spirit of the place was different. And I said, oh, Lord, 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 don't let that happen. and it didn't.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Oh, I come in here and I just rejoice and thank God for the preacher we got and how he preaches the word of God to us and gets after us and straightens us out. And amen. Oh, yeah, I love it. And amen. I have to say, woe is me. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes I say amen. Sometimes I say, woe. Whoa, Pastor Ross. Amen. But it's the word of God. It's the ministry. It's set for the defense of the gospel. And he must depend. He must do that. Amen. Now, it's a divine institution also because the Bible says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. This is just a simple warning. You leave him alone. You just leave him alone. God put him here. Amen. You don't want to mess up. You don't want to mess with him. He's a pastor. He's a special person that God has placed here. I don't understand it all, but that's the way God does it. Is he human? Oh, sure. He's proved it quite a few times in his lifetime. My wife raised him. We know he's human. But when God put his hand on him and anointed him to preach the word of God, pastor the church, I'll tell you, you better leave him alone. You don't want to mess with him. Why? Because of Jerry Ross? No, because he's God's man. That's why. Amen? Amen. Not only that, the landmark of preaching the word. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And listen to what he says. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Did you know the preaching of the word of God is supposed to reprove us? I mean, do you understand that? That's why God put the preacher up here to reprove us. There's times we just need reproved. And he even says there's times we need rebuked. We just need rebuked. Amen. That's what the Bible said. And that happens through the preaching of the word of God. He says also to exhort. He does a lot of exhorting. He encourages us in some of the exhorting to do right. To exhort us to do right. See, exhorting is not to exhort someone to do wrong, but to do right. And so he exhorts us, you see. Well, that's what preaching is about. Amen. That's a landmark that cannot be moved. Now you say, Brother Ross, what's going on? Well, there's just a lot of preachers has forgot the reproving and the rebuking and the exhorting.
Yes,
they get up and they're mealy-mouthed.
Yep.
And so the congregation never hears any reproving or rebuking. As that one big-time preacher out there somewhere said, sin is not on our menu at our church. Thousands and thousands of people go to that church, and I can't remember his name, and I hope I can't. Thousands and thousands of people go to that church, and he said, sin is not on the menu. Sin better be on the menu.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. Sin better be on the menu. Amen. And he needs to reprove us and rebuke us and exhort us, you see, with all long-suffering. God said for him to be long-suffering. And doctrine, have his doctrine straight, amen. Then also there's the landmark of the Christian life. The Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now folks, that's priority. That's what God said to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now all we need to do once in a while is take a spiritual checkup. What are we seeking first? What's our first priority? Amen? I mean, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? That's what God's telling us. That's a landmark of the Christian life. That's what we're to seek first. Our spiritual condition, our relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know what your relationship with Christ is. I really don't know. I know what mine is. I don't know about yours. I'm sure I don't know everything about mine. God knows more than I do. But I'm just simply saying, I don't know what your relationship with him is, but don't deceive yourself. You won't need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what the Bible says. That should be first, priority, you see. And then he said also, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. That's simple. I've always wondered about that. I wonder how people get by and say, I don't need to go to church. Well, God says you do. And he said, don't forsake it. Amen. Amen. I know there's times impossible, but folks, listen, that oughtn't to be second choice. That ought to be first priority. See, gathering together in God's house, God knows we need that. Yeah, you'll just be like an old coal off of a fire one of these days. You pull yourself away from the house of God, you'll go cold. You get with the house of God, you get with the people of God, and you stay warm, you know. Amen? And the cold stays hot. Amen? But you get away from that, you're just going to get cold. That's why you get critical sometimes. Get away from God. Your relationship with God not right. You get critical. Yeah, you do. Sure you do. You get critical. Why? Because the love of God is not coming out like it should because you're away from God. Amen? Sure. So anyway, there's that landmark, not forsaking. Now, not only that, the landmark of Bible study. Folks, God says we should study to show ourselves approved. Amen? Well, what's that mean? Well, it means you got to study the Bible. See, I don't know whether you study the Bible or not, but God says you're supposed to study the Bible. Amen. And isn't that pretty simple? Amen. We're just supposed to, it's a landmark. God says you study. You're showing yourself approved unto God. Amen. So, let's study the Bible. That's a landmark. Don't move that landmark. Study the Bible. You say, I don't have a whole lot of time. Well, take the time you have and study the Bible a little bit. Amen. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Find some new truths. Amen?
Yes,
amen. Amen. That's a landmark. And then, of course, there's the landmark of witnessing for Christ. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. I want to tell you something. I've really come to believe this. If all of we Christians, all of us, would just make a commitment. You know what? Every time I go out somewhere, I'm going to do my best to speak to someone about Christ. I know you can't in every situation. I know that, but God will open doors for you. And these wonderful things called tracts. Amen. These wonderful things called tracts. Oh, they do a lot of good. My wife and I got down to Evansville a little early the other day, and so we stopped at McDonald's and got us a biscuit before we went into the services. We was about an hour early. We want to make sure we got there. I hate people. No, I don't hate them. But I don't like being late. I want to be on time. I want to be there before they get there. And we was. So we went in there, and there was three ladies behind us there. They were some rough, kind of rough ladies. They was talking all about everything. They was all right. I mean, but they were just talking up a storm. I said, honey, I had my back to them. I said, how many are they? She said, there's three of them, Bob. I said, okay. So I pulled three tracks up and got up. Turned around, and I said, would you, dear ladies, mind if I gave you a gospel track? Oh, they just sweetened up. They said, well, no, that'd be fine. So I always give them a gospel tract. Now, you know, you say, Brother Ross, will they read it? I haven't the slightest idea, but I know one thing. They won't if I don't give it to them.
Right.
How many tracts have you passed out? I haven't the slightest idea. Thousands upon thousands. How many was read? I haven't the slightest idea, but I know they wouldn't read them if I didn't give them to them. Now, why don't we just get busy being a witness?
Amen.
You ought to get just a little bit excited.
Yes, sir.
About someone getting saved and then they, you know, through the gospel. You know, a few years back, probably 3-4 years back, we was driving over to Worthington. And out there, there's an Amish family that lives out there on the right. And it was during the summertime, and they were selling their goods, like sweet corn and tomatoes and all them kind of things. And there was a little young lady out there. I suppose, would you think she may have been 14, 15, or younger? Yeah, maybe she was. Maybe 12, 13, I don't know. She was out there standing behind this. And so as we went by, she got so excited. I guess she was wanting some customers. She grabbed an ear of corn. She started waving it and jumping up and down so we'd see her. And we've laughed about that I don't know how many times. We'll drive by there and say, where's our Amish girl? But I thought to myself, you know, what if we'd get that excited? You know, she wanted to just sell some corn. But I wonder if we'd get that excited about being a witness for Jesus Christ. You understand what I mean? I mean, I think it's kind of exciting to go out there and just make mention of the Lord and talk to the people. You understand? It's a landmark, folks, that God told us to do. See, that's not a command of Bob Ross. That's a command of God to be a witness for him. And you can find a lot of ways to do that. Down in University Heights, down there, the lady was telling Donna, said there was a couple that came and now is faithful. He leads the singing. She plays the piano. And he said this one lady is a piano teacher. And he had come there to get some piano lessons, and he had come for a few times, and all at once she had a bulletin from her church laying right out there. And he looked at it and said, is this where you go to church? And she said, yes, it is. And he read all over that that bulletin. And he said, we'll just come Sunday. I know, don't faint. He said, we'll come Sunday. And sure enough, that next Sunday, he had to work, so he sent his family. Yeah, he sent his family. Now, the week later, he got to come. She was a Catholic. Come, long story short, they both got saved. Amen. They're in the church now and just, you know, serving the Lord. And they got their children, you know, and the things of God. You know, you just come from a little bulletin laying on a table. Folks, it don't take much. God can do marvelous things, but we've got to be a witness. Amen. That's a landmark that God gives us, you see. And then, of course, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because we just had a preacher that preached to us 40-some-odd times, but it's the landmark of prayer. Amen. If we don't have that down a little bit, we're in trouble. But it's a landmark. Can't do anything without prayer. I'm serious about this. You're not going to get anything done unless you pray. Amen. You got to pray. That's a landmark. So just keep praying. Amen. Say, I got somebody that I want to see saved. Well, you better get down on your knees and get to praying. No, I'm serious about this. You need to ask God. You need to call out to God over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Never stop. See, just keep praying. Then, of course, there's a landmark for just being saved. Folks, that don't change. It's by grace through faith that you come to Jesus Christ. It's Him and Him alone that can save your soul. It's not signing a card. It's not going to the baptismal waters. It's not being good to your neighbor. That's not salvation. You want to do those things, but it's not salvation. We got to get back and remember that the old landmark of salvation is not works. It's God's grace. And it's faith. You see, I used to tell people, it's faith is the vehicle God uses to get us to the grace of God. Because it's the grace of God that saves our soul. Amen. Got to remember that. And then, of course, after salvation, God tells us to put off the old man and put on the new. Yes, you know, he says over there in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. You know, when we get saved, folks, we need to put away the wicked. Is it going to take a while? I believe it is. You got to work on it. You put off the old man. It takes a while to put off that old man. But you better be getting on the new man. Amen. If you're saved. Amen. I've heard so many people tell me they're saved and live like the devil. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness sakes. I don't believe that. You can say anything you want. Will they make mistakes? Sure they will. Will they goof? Yes, they will. But I want to tell you, God won't let them alone. God will be on them. Amen. You see, that's one of the old landmarks. You see, God don't just let his children do anything they want to. I had a friend of mine at Anaconda Aluminum Company years and years ago. Just some of you, I don't know, well, you probably heard me tell about him. John Phillips. John helped me when I first got saved. Yes, he did. He helped me. We'd talk about the Bible. And then John got away from God. And he just done some things. And I don't mean that he was terribly wicked. He just didn't do what God would have him do. He done things he shouldn't be doing. And we'd talk about it. One day I said to him, I said, John, you remember how you helped me when I first got saved? Yeah, I know, Brother Ross. I said, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just tell God you don't believe in him anymore? And tears started coming down his face. He said, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that, Bob. He'd call me. I couldn't. Why not? That's what you're doing with your life. We just talk about that. 53 or 4 years old, God just said, that's enough, John. Mm-hmm. Just took him home. Yeah, he just took him home. Just young man. What I'm saying is, I don't know that God always does that. I just know that, you know, when you get saved, you're just supposed to act like it. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. You're just supposed to act like it. Listen, I could go on and on. It's time for me to quit. But listen, there is landmarks in God's word. Landmarks. They cannot be moved. They're the ancient landmarks, and you can't move them. Don't let any liberal try to move some of your landmarks. These are the truths of God's word, and you just stick with them. Don't waver. Don't falter. Amen. Just stick with those old wonderful landmarks of the word of God. And just keep on going on. Is times hard? Yes, they are. You know, my heart goes out to these people who's lost their job. It really do. I, you know, but God says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, but at the same time, he said he'll provide all your needs. Yeah. But it could get hard. It could get tough in America. Yep. Amen. And Christians are going to probably do some suffering too. Mm-hmm. Amen. But just stick with the old landmarks of the Word of God. Stay faithful to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace and goodness and kindness. I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for who you are. You're good, you're kind, you're gracious, but also, Lord, you're righteous. And Lord, you're the righteous judge. And Lord, help us. Help us to just stand fast. And be what we ought to be. And Lord, just help folk to know Christ as their Savior. Now, Lord, you take this simple message and just use it for your glory. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.